You're listening to All Over the Place, the official podcast of Media Pub Live, with your hosts, Eric Provoznik, Jim Culver, Marty Zamora, and Christine Leninger.
Hi, I'm Dana Pappas. I'm the Director of Officiating Services for the National Federation. Welcome to the All Over the Place podcast, where the fun sanity never ends.
Hey, and welcome back to All Over the Place, the official podcast of Media Pub Live. I'm your host, Eric Provoznik, tonight known as KNG, and we'll get to that one momentarily. Also tonight, Jim Culver. Hello, Jim.
Hey, how you doing?
Fantastic.
All right.
Great three for tonight. That's right, folks, it's a three for, but we'll get to that in a second. Christine, still in the house. Very same house.
Hello.
And Marty Zamora is back with us for three for time. Hello, Martine.
Hello. I like how you did the Martine.
I aims to please from time to time because the KNG is a benevolent dictator when it comes to video games, specifically Galaga. I'm wearing my Glitch Barcadium shirt. Marty has his Glitch Barcadium shirt on. That's an awesome little barcade up there in Lake Havasu, Arizona. I also brought along my Starfighters arcade.
Love that place.
And awesome about this shirt is you can see, chronologically speaking, when major video games came out. Obviously, folks, we're doing arcade games tonight. We're going to do video games as a whole, but we're going to narrow it down. Arcade games, not consoles, not 2E.
Quarter-driven games.
That's right. Plop a quarter, as you got to do these days, drop 50 cents in or a dollar to play a game that, you know, I used to play for a quarter. And not just I, but a lot of us. The video game revolution, you look at these dates, Seawolf, Boot Hill, Space Wars, Space Invader 78, Asteroid 79. And to be a middle schooler when I was 81, 82, 83, 84, we could go on and on. It's just 81 and 82 alone. But that's a three for tonight. And in a more analog world, we all grew up with I don't even want to call it simple, just, you know, a board game. So that's our plus one tonight. And, you know, let's just get it rolling before the usual babbling on and on about all this fun stuff that we do here on the three first. Christine, we're going to start with you.
I have to go first.
we'll do it clockwise tonight so I don't miss anybody.
Oh, okay. I see how that goes. All right. Well, shoot. I mean, I need a little time to think about this.
All right, Jim, go.
All right. So I narrowed it down to 90s games, or at least games that I played in the 90s. They may have been made a little bit before that. My number three is a game that I dearly loved as a kid called Lethal Enforcers. It's a cop game. It was one of those arcade games where you had like a plastic gun attached to it and you would just pick it up and you basically played a cop and you were, you know, duking it out with, you know, drug dealers and other assorted, you know, slime and shooting it out with them. And it was just a ton of fun. Probably the first real shoot 'em up game I ever played. First person shooter, that is. Kind of a precursor to all the first person shooters that came out for consoles later. But it just kind of had like a cheesy Miami Vice kind of feel. And just an awful lot of fun. You know, the thugs would pop out and say stuff like, "You miss me, pig," and that kind of thing. Just a ton of fun to play. I really enjoyed that one.
Please, Jim, don't ever refer to Miami Vice as cheese. Don't do that. That's not cool.
Fine aged cheese. Is that the one? I know there were several versions of that.
There was.
Where you stepped on the pedal to either duck or reload, or maybe you just shot on that one.
No, that was Time Crisis. You're thinking of where you step on the pedal. Okay. Yeah, so
another favorite of beat there. He knew
that one is on my list too, not as a favorite but as an honorable mention. So nice. It's fresh in the cabeza anyway. But yeah, that one I really enjoyed as well. Stepping on the pedal, get out from cover and shoot it out with the bad guys. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That was, yeah, you're right. A lot of Dave and Buster's in that one for me.
Nice. All right. Well, Christine, can we skip back to you now? Have you had enough time? Marty, to you.
All right. I'm going to go with, for my third one. Could have been second, but time played, quarter spent, token spent. I'm going to have to put this one third, but I really loved it. I remember being at Disneyland? Magic Mountain. I was at Magic Mountain, Six Flags Magic Mountain, up in, you know, about north of L.A. And there was a big crowd gathered in one of the open areas outside. And I made my way over there. And this was in 82, I think. Something like that. I think 82. And I fought my way to the front. And what it was four Tron games.
Stand up Tron. Yes.
And everybody waiting to play. It was the debut. It hadn't been released in arcades. This is how they debuted it at all the Six Flags locations.
How many?
Oh, we're going to get
sure an eight or six?
Cigarettes.
So
that was in San Francisco.
They had their debut at Six Flags, and I think all over the country they did that before they released them to the arcades. And man, I just loved it. It was maybe not next world, like a big leap, but it was a pretty good leap compared to what we had. It was a pretty good jump, and I liked that it had the individual games within the game, you know, the light bike and the spider one, and there was a tank one.
Yep.
And there was one more.
Disc one.
Speeder bike.
Yes, there you go, the disc one, yes. So all of which were featured in the Disney movie. Was that Disney? That was Disney,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Disney, yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, love that. It was, once it came to the arcade, it was always really hard to get there. You had to put your quarter in on the thing, and you know they were all stacked up across the bottom. And you know, you hope
it's
you
my quarter.
Get
that's my quarter.
I used to with a marker, I would put my initials on it, and everybody started doing it. I picked it up from somebody else, but it was a great idea. But yeah, and you hope there wasn't a ringer, because that guy'd play forever. Anyway, love Tron, amazing game. Big leap forward, or at least a medium leap forward, to what, I mean, God, what they are now. But I don't know, like you said, growing up at that time, it was a sweet spot for us, because all what kids today now have is really, really good graphics, sure, and smooth, yeah, video, and the interaction you can with your world is amazing and all of that. But it's just better than the last thing and better than the last thing. Like Madden just keeps getting better and better. For us, there wasn't anything else. This was the first stuff. It was compared to board games. Like it was, you know, like this is it. We're starting out fresh here, and this was not a thing before. You know, obviously Pong started it, but you know, it wasn't a thing before. Now they're just improving on video games, but sure was great to be there when they invented this thing.
We were around at the beginning. We're close enough to it. But yeah, the video game boom.
Yeah, I
have Pong.
Okay, now I can go. Thank you, Marty. Okay. My number three choice is Tron. Thank you, Marty.
Double it up. All right, everyone, throw one back.
That's what happens when you pass.
Because I couldn't think of what my number three choice was. I've got my two and my one. And yeah, so thank you. Because I remember my parents used to be in a bowling league, and we used to go with them to the arcade. And I was trying to think of what that game was that I used to play. And of course, you know, when we were kids, you know, you go to the movies and you see this movie, and then to have like something you could actually interact with that was like, right, the movie, and it had the joystick and, you know, trying to do the motorcycle game and the disc game and all of that stuff.
Slow down.
Yeah, it was so fun. It was really cool. So thank you, Marty, for reminding me. Yes, Tron. That's my choice.
Okay, well, both of you, a quick quiz. Put your hands on the buzzers.
Okay.
What shape do you make to most quickly win speeder bike first level? The question mark. Down over around.
Yeah. I was going to say seven. It's just an abbreviated thinner question mark.
Somehow I still managed to have good grades and had fun in athletics, but I was a video game nerd, no doubt about it. And a quick shout out to one of the greatest sketches of all time from the 1984-85 season of Saturday Night Live, Video Game Junkie.
Yes. And, oh my gosh. So funny.
The little girl, can't remember her name, but you know, this is Susie. She's dressed like a tramp, like this little 8-9-year-old girl. Susie earned her video game money the hard way, one quarter at a time. Right kind of dementia. Well, yep. Like Jim is keeping his 90s-centric. I'm keeping mine 80s-centric for the aforementioned reasons. However, my first honorable mention is going to be a 90s game. Actually, I'm going to do a quick two. RBI Baseball, which I played quite a bit of at the greatest arcade in the history of arcade.
Noah's Arcade.
Greatest it's actual fresh. Arcade. That's the greatest fictional arcade. No doubt about Noah's Arcade. Absolutely. Playland. Three levels of video games. This was my college years and where I minored in the number one game. We'll get to that later. But three levels. You had the older stuff on one level, the newer, and the pinball on the main level. And then around the back, it was just a mixture of both. It punch out every Mike Tyson's punch out, regular old the boxing. What was that one Marty helped me out with? But the Glass Joe.
Punch out?
Was that just punch out? Punch out was specific. Yeah, okay.
AKA the most impossible game ever.
Glass Joe, who's the guy from Turkey? But anyway, Bald Bull. But there was also one there in one of the newer games from the 90s was Cyberball. And Jim, do you remember that one from your 90s?
I don't remember that one.
No, it was a football. It was a football-based game, 7-on-7 with droids battling against each other. It was a fun game. That's an honorable mention. Playland, rest in peace. Every year we go back to Penn State, we'd have to bip in there. Then one year we saw the notice on the wall. We're selling all the video games, and actually my friend Steve picked one of them up, if I recall correctly. And there's a clothing store there now. Kids, you have no idea the walk down. Anyway, but that's my 90s honorable mentions. My number three for my 80s-centric, my top three video games is Track and Field from Konami. Konami Track and Field. You had the two little buttons. Some guys would cheat and use a quarter. I'm not a quarter. They would use a comb to put it over top of both. And then the video game, the arcade started putting up little guards around them. So you couldn't use a comb anymore.
Crafty.
And, players got smarter. You evolved as a video game player on Track and Field. That one was fun. And doing the 100-meter dash or then hurdles, high jump, discus, javelin. It was fun. It was a good time. And again, that was, I think, 83, maybe 84, that – took it up to the next level from what Tron had done and just interactive. And it probably was 84 with a tie-in with the Olympics. And the aforementioned haven, Marty's heaven there in Los Angeles, the Olympics in 1984.
Yes. Olympic Village.
Actually, let's find out really quickly with my shirt. Let's see. Track and field was 1983. So that got us ready for the Olympics. So that is my number three. And Christine, we're taking it back to you. You're next. We're going.
All right. Well, you're not going to be happy about that choice, but okay. So my number two.
Track and field. Please tell me it's track and field.
It's my number one. No. I don't care. As we learned with Stuart Copeland, I can wax really poetic when we double up. So go ahead.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. So I'll let you do most of the talking about it. But my number two is Galaga. So when I went to Hawaii for a wedding when I was 10, I was bored out of my mind. Yeah, look at me being bored in Hawaii. So
yeah, when you're 10, it's not the same.
Yeah, so I was bored and looking for something to do. But in the lobby of the house or the hotel, that we stayed in Kauai, there was a Galaga machine. So I was begging everybody for quarters and just played that game like practically the whole time that I was there. Loved it.
Wasn't there a Saturday Night Live skit?
It was so much fun. I was really good at it then.
Marty.
But somebody kicks my butt now.
Yeah.
Well, and folks will learn why those letters down there in the lower left of your screen, why KNG is what it is. So
yeah, right. He put that stain here more than once.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we'll learn more about that later. But now, you know, I should just shift gears and anyway, but Jim, to you.
All right. So my number two is a game that me and my friend spent a lot of time playing in the arcade back in the 90s. Really fun game called Rampage.
Yeah.
And yeah. We spent hours playing that. So anybody who's not familiar with the game, basically the concept is all the the movie monsters like King Kong, Godzilla, or rather like the Austin Powers version of Godzilla. Due to international copyright law, it's not Godzilla. rampaging through the city, and you get to play as them. Basically, that's the idea. It's from their point of view. So you're controlling these monsters as they climb up buildings and smash them, eat people, break stuff. It's so much fun, you know. And I mean, you know, technically you lose at the end of the game, so you know it's always a happy ending for all the people, but except the ones that got eaten. But just absolutely.
Well, some of them got spit back out though.
That's true.
Didn't taste good.
That's true. There is that. Yeah. Really, really fun game. Just the gameplay on it was so satisfying. Like you push a button and you just reach out and grab a person or punch part of a building and watch it come down after you punched it enough. Just the gameplay is really, really fun. Also sadly inspired a really bad movie with The Rock a while ago. We don't talk about that.
For a different show of worst video game adaptations.
It would probably be on my list. I'll put it that way. But there's a lot of contenders. But really, really fun game. I don't know if it's ever been adapted to a console. It probably has, but I've never played it on anything but an arcade. But I had an absolute blast with that one. So,
well, and don't forget the third monster that you got to choose from, the werewolf.
Yep.
Giant werewolf. Who was your favorite one to play with?
Oh, I always played the lizard. Always. Lizzie, I think they called it.
Yep. Not Godzilla.
Dude. Not Godzilla.
Not Godzilla. No. Love the Rampage. Yes. All right, Marty, to you.
All right. So I'm noticing a trend since there's an age difference with Jim. His are a little more modern. Early 90s or
not that modern.
While you're talking, I'm going to find out when Rampage was released.
88.
88?
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I'm looking. I'm
you're probably not here. Far off.
I don't know things.
If they don't have it listed, I'm going to be rather disappointed.
For the record, I grew up in a town that did not have an arcade. There was only two things to do in my town, and that bowling alley and movie theater. And the bowling alley, fortunately, had a robust selection of video games to play.
Oh, they always did. Yeah.
There were a lot of games that did not come to my town or only came years later. So I assumed they were 90s games, even though they probably came out in 1982.
Well, much like with Marty, with having the games there at Magic Mountain, we Cedar Point always had the great arcade stuff too. So
86, by the way.
86?
Wow, I was way behind on that one.
And they don't have it listed.
86. You know what? It's a 90s game in my heart, okay?
Look, it lasted a while. I still love playing that. That's a good one. Starfighters, this is one of the few things, bad things I've ever said about Starfighters. Love your arcade, but you know, if you're not going to list Rampage on here, can we really call it a world tour?
Seriously.
Folks, this is how you turn away sponsors, by the way.
Maybe they're mad about the movie.
There you go. Thank you. All right. Good save, Mark. Good save. Starfighters, we love you.
Sponsor us.
All right, well, Marty, so going to your number two,
where are you? I changed it. It's now Rampage. Okay, so my number two is Defender. Loved just so fast moving, and you couldn't make mistakes. You had to think quickly. There was a real audio version to it, because a real audio sort of feel to it. You would hear that your people were being abducted, and you had to rush over there, and I just loved it. And the sound that the I guess it was a laser that you shot, the sound that it made is just infectious. And
yeah,
I can hear it right now. Just absolutely love that game. And just the stress of trying to rush across. And for those who don't know, it's a side to side, and you can reverse, you can go either way, which was pretty new. You had a map, so you could see it happening down over there in the corner, and you're rushing to get to that spot to try and shoot the alien to save your, it was vague what it was, but I guess it was people, a base, something. Just loved it. And just the way you fired, and it had tracers, and the audio, the sound that the laser made was kind of like a gun, but, and it echoed, and just, it was just cool. It just, you always knew it was being played when you walked in an arcade. You could always hear it amongst all the other noises going on. The equivalent of in Vegas casino, you hear Buffalo. You can hear that over everything nowadays because they're everywhere. You could hear the Defender shot going off, and it was just great. It pulled me right in. Love
and
it.
That gets a dishonorable mention from me. I love that. Here's the thing. The dishonorable mention with a twist. I loved playing Defender. I loved playing Joust, but I was horrible at them. Absolutely horrible. But yeah, I loved the gameplay on them. But in a strange twist of fate, I was actually Activision for the Atari had Chopper Command, which was a similar scenario.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But I was good at that. But Defender, couldn't play that game to save my life. Still can't. But you'll still see me if it's there. I will at least try it a couple of times.
Yeah, there was that part where if you weren't good and you were trying to rush to get to save your person, and you just blast right past him because it didn't stop instantly.
Yeah.
And you would blow right by him. Oh, no. And you'd have to turn around and pass that way. Anyway.
Well, going to my number two is another one that probably should be a dishonorable mention because I wasn't that good at it, but Tempest is my number two.
Oh, it was going to make mine. It was on my honorables.
And that one was different because, you know, instead of, you know, just the joystick part and firing a button, you still fired a button, but you had a roller or a dial that you used to go around.
Yeah, it was almost like a potentiometer.
Marty's using big words tonight. I'm gonna let him go on that one.
You spun it. It wasn't a ball.
Oh, and a quick honorable mention that Marty and I got to play at. They don't have it there anymore, but at Starfighters, the rollerball football.
It's on my list.
Yeah, I'll let you talk about that one later. Then that's honorable mention. Game. But no, Tempest. You had spikes coming at you, and Marty was mentioning the sounds you remember from Defender. I still remember when the spikes or the pixelations would come up from the center to get you, and the when it got you, and that ended your life or your turn. Tempest was just fast paced, fun, good time. But that
very, very basic and simple, but really, really. Are you familiar with this, Jim?
I am not. I think this one went right past me.
Oh,
yeah. It sounds like a blast, though.
This is homework for some, but yeah, and unfortunately, and when you had the roller, like I'm surprised. Actually, no, they did have it for Atari. Did have a Tempest because there were you had to use your paddles for that one.
Yeah,
we're old folks. We're talking Atari. I don't care. Deal with it.
2600, baby. Okay.
Just a bunch of old people talking old Atari. School video games.
Oh, I'm so old. It wasn't called the Atari 2600. It was just the Atari. And then the 5200 came out. But anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at Christine's currently muted right now. So we may have to skip over because the dogs are being.
No, I'm okay. I can talk.
All right. She's back. All right, Christine.
I know if they will humor me. I'm throwing peanuts at the dogs to try and get them to be quiet. But
we have ways of dealing with the dogs now. Peanuts.
Throw peanuts at them to get them to not bark at me. So, yeah, my favorite arcade video game is, you know, I don't really know what the name of it is because I never really pay attention to what the name of it is, but it's any of those. Okay, whatever. It's, you know, it's the motorcycle and driver games. And usually there's like a handful of them. There's like a big dock of them that are all together. And if you ever look at the driver games, and I don't know if it's Road Race or Cruisin' USA or whatever. I mean, they have a bunch of different names that they go by. But if you ever look at the chairs, my sons and I noticed, because at one point my son was really into, I think it's Rick and Morty, but the chair looks like Million Ants.
Million, it's red.
A million
and
ants.
We had a picture of million. We took a picture of the chair, and we took a picture. We like found a picture of Million Ants on the chair or on the internet, and posted them together. And we were like, they look exactly the same. It's really weird. I wonder if whoever designed that video game did it on purpose. But
I don't know what you're talking about. Can you see their faces?
It's okay. Do you know what I'm talking about? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, forget it. Anyhow.
In that ear, out that one.
Million we'll post ants. It. When this comes out, I'll make sure that it comes up with the, both the chair and the picture so that you guys know what I'm talking about.
There you go.
Anyhow. Okay. I love those head-to-head driving racing games where you can get, like, now it's myself and my boys where we can all get in, you know, the thing together and we're all racing against each other and it's a lot of fun. And I love that. It's cool.
And two of them are now driving and they're driving exactly like they do in the video game. So yeah, it's maybe this wasn't a good idea even in the video games to learn. But Cruisin' USA, I'm glad you brought that one up. That was a fun one. They're all, yeah. They're all good. You get to pick your music.
They've got all kinds of names like World Race.
Yep.
Tour US, you know, they've all got all kinds of names. Yeah.
Yeah, you could pick your music, pick your car.
Yeah.
Yep. They were.
Yeah, you can pick your music, pick your vehicle. Like those are my favorite ones.
Yeah.
All right, Jim, to you. For your numero uno.
For my numero uno. Before I do that, I'm gonna do a couple of honorable mentions. First is Breakout. Out of that wave of early 80s. Games, I think Breakout was my favorite. I could just sit there and watch that thing break the blocks all day long. I don't know why, but it's very addictive. Another 90s game is Metal Slug. It's a military game where you're like a soldier throwing grenades at stuff and watching it blow up, and it's just a ridiculous, goofy, cartoonish game, but it's a lot of fun. Western game called Sunset Riders that I always enjoyed. That was a good 90s arcade game. So for my number one, this is a game. This is by far my most played game. Me and my friends, but mostly me, spent hours and hours dumping so many quarters into this that we probably could have consolidated them and bought a house together or something. but just endless hours of fun. And that's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade
Heck
game.
Yes.
So much freaking fun, that game. Just... The best side scroller action game ever. They made a lot of games kind of like that, and they did an X-Men game, they did a Simpsons game, very similar. But Ninja Turtles is absolutely the king of those. So much fun to play, and it helped obviously that I was that generation. I was a huge Ninja Turtles fan at the time, but absolutely so much fun to play. And it's one of those games that's kind of survived over the years. I walk into Best Buy and you can see like mini versions of it that you can buy and take home for like, you know, $500 or whatever it costs. So
when's it going to be in the background for you?
When I win the lottery.
There you go. All right.
True.
You know, or I sell my car, whatever happens first. But yeah,
cars are overrated.
It's true. It's true. I can walk to work every day.
Yeah. What do you need to be driving around for?
Take the bus. Totally safe.
Just have my wife drive me around. That'll work. Yeah. So yeah, totally fun game. Love Ninja Turtles. And yeah, my all-time favorite right there.
Great game. Great game.
And by the way, Jim, the greatest scrolling game of all time is Jungle King.
Oh.
No.
Agree to disagree.
They're all fun. They're all fun. But in Ninja Turtle, actually, you probably get to stab someone in the throat with that one, like Jungle King you did. But anyway, Marty, to you.
All right. So my honorable mentions. One, we already talked about, the NFL one. That was a very cool game. That one of the first, there was a couple others, by the way, also on my honorable mentions, with the rollerball, with the big rollerball. You have it now.
You get your hand stuck underneath it. You're injured for a couple minutes.
They still have them, like with the golf game, and at this place they have, like, you can play cornhole. But the ball's a lot smaller. This ball was like a grapefruit or maybe a cantaloupe. It was big. I remember. Anyway, really good honorable mention there. Another one is called Berserk. Just like Defender, you were running around like a maniac, and you know, oh, that's Q-Bert.
No, the ball would bounce on Berserk to come get you. That was
Oh, yeah. I got you. I thought you were doing the Q-Bert thing. Yes. No,
Q-Bert, I'd be doing some diagonals in there too. Yeah.
That was one of the first diagonal games. I think Paperboy was first. But anyway, no.
No, Q-Bert was first, 82.
Gorf was the first angled.
Gorf was, you could actually move. Gorf, you weren't contained just on the bottom. You could go up and down.
Yes, three-dimensional.
So sad. I don't need to think about this, folks, but I'm not embarrassed.
Anyway, another one would be Missile Command.
I am a little.
Yeah.
Love Missile Command.
Great game.
Forgot about that one till now. But
Like Defender, very. Why did I like these high-stress games? Very high stress. Right. You're trying to save all your. Wow,
I have a coronary playing that game. Good Lord. Oh, that game just... Stuff missiles.
Five bases, too fast. Seconds.
But man, if you could get your. Remember, they were very tactile, clicky, small little lit buttons that you would push with. You could push them with your. If you got good at it, use one finger on each one. There wasn't, you know, they were close enough. And you just click, 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 click if you were good. So anyway. Enough of that. Oh, one more. Mickey Thompson's Off-Road. Sometimes they had two steering wheels. Sometimes they had four. Always really fun. One of the first head-to-head race type games there was before the one where you sat down and almost basically a car. Those were, you know, like Christine was talking about. But that Mickey Thompson's Off-Road was awesome. Love that. That was a little later. My number one is probably not a shock to any 80s video game guy. We had Asteroids, we had Space Invaders was first, but we had Asteroids. Those are both really high on my list because they were early on. But Donkey Kong grabbed me. It was cool. It was the melodies were very cool. I think I liked it because a lot of girls liked to play it, which they didn't like playing video games as much as dumb guys did.
Save me, Marty, save me.
We talked to each other and we were just big dumb idiots. But you know, girls actually would hang around Donkey Kong and talk to us, and then, you know, it made it a little better. But I really liked the game. It had, the levels were very achievable, but they got hard and they faster, and it wasn't just a regurgitated version of the last level. They were a lot different. There was elevators and shit if you got far enough, and really loved Donkey Kong. And I mean, it got its run, man. I mean, it went on to the console and it branched out.
ColecoVision.
Yeah, I mean, it had more more spinoffs than Star Trek. I mean, it was.
I was going to ask, I was not that good at Donkey Kong. I've gotten better in later years, but at the time wasn't that good. But when Donkey Kong Jr. came out, I rocked on that one. What about you with Donkey Kong Jr.?
I liked it too. With you know, playing with the monkey, that was cool. Climbing around the vines, that's a fun game. We are absolutely boring, Christine. But I was an original one. I even had like a pattern where you held it for so many seconds and then stopped and then went, and then every level had its cadence, and I played a lot of that. Anyway, love my Donkey Kong, even though I still don't understand the name. I get Kong, a donkey. I don't know.
King Kong.
Those silly Japanese. It's maybe the word was not translated properly. I never Googled it because I don't want to know.
Some things, as Hall & Oates once said, are better left unsaid.
Maybe it just sounded cool. Before we move on, can I do a dishonorable mention, actually?
This is all over the place. Hell yeah. All right.
Thank you, Jim, because I thought the plus one was one you didn't like, but that's okay. I'll pivot. Dishonorable one. Yes. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was a game that came out, I think, I want to say late 80s, possibly early 90s, called Dragon's Lair.
That's early 80s, actually.
Is that early 80s? Okay. I didn't get around to playing it till late 80s. But anyway, so it was basically a fantasy game, but instead of being like a interactive game, it was almost like a series of Don Bluth animations.
Yeah.
And you would watch this fantasy movie play out, and then all of a sudden it would be, okay, you have to turn left now. Oh, you didn't do it fast enough. You're dead. And then it would do another 5 minutes of animation. Oh, turn right. Oh, too fast. You're dead. And that was the whole thing. And I never wanted to punch a screen so much as when I played that.
So I'm with you 100%. That was my frustrating. That was going to be my plus one.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Everybody was all excited because they would show clips of it. And the animation, well, we thought it was not the animation.
It looks so cool. Yeah.
We thought it was a graphic rendering, but it wasn't. It was just animation. We didn't realize that until you got to the game. And you just stand there, and then you hit the joystick, right, left,
up. Didn't matter.
You had to do it, like, at the right time, but you weren't controlling the guy. And everybody was like, what is this? What a letdown. I agree with you, Jim.
Yeah.
Horrible. It was essentially akin to like those books you can read where you can choose which way to go.
Choose Your Own Adventures. Yeah.
Choose Your Own Adventure. But except that, you know, you chose right or you died. And, you know, you would just get used to the pattern. I'd watch guys that could play it good. And they would just get used. They would just know the pattern. And they would just wait to flip the thing at the right time. It was horrible. Horrible. So way back when I thought that our plus one was a game you hate, that was my plus one.
Yeah.
I was like, no. That was 37 minutes ago when I found out that it wasn't.
Go ahead.
Just a kid then.
I can almost picture some studio making that game thinking, this is going to be the future of gaming. It's going to be interactive movies and cartoons, and like it's going to take off. And it was just so not fun to play that it just sank that whole concept.
Well, I mean, one more. A space one, wasn't there? A space one?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but it was I never played it.
You know, the different version of Parable.
We all got soured on Dragon's Lair. They tried again, didn't work. But I'm confirming Dragon's Lair was part of 1983, 83. Along with Donkey Kong Jr., Beer Tapper, and Zaxxon was 82.
Zaxxon. That was
first of the three games.
I called it Gorf. It was Zaxxon. I'm sorry. Stand corrected.
Gorf was more. You don't need to apologize. I didn't know any different.
It was more of a Gorf was more of a Galaga expansion kind of thing.
Yeah, well, it combines the best from Galaxian and Space Invaders and
yes,
and Die Now Space Commander. God, we're
boring. Okay.
Die Now anyway. Space Commander.
Yeah, and by the way, half the people I talked to back in '83, so I would have been. You know, 45. I would have been a sophomore summer before my sophomore year. Half the people that you talked to thought it was Dragon Slayer, and then the game came out, and everybody went, "Oh, Dragon's Lair! Why? What the hell?" It was a weird thing. A lot of bad. Yeah, Dragon Slayer. It makes sense.
Which brings us, it's interweaving of words that make it sound
similar.
For two different words.
No.
Actual meanings.
The oral tradition, you know, people hearing about it thought it was Dragon Slayer. But then they saw it written on the game and they're like, that's Dragon Slayer. Yeah.
Yeah. And your kids, you just played a big game of telephone with each other, whatever somebody said, your version, their version.
Yes. Yeah. And you go, well, Google it. And everybody went, ooh, what was that?
What's Google, man?
What's Google?
It's a lot of zeros.
That's made up. That's stupid.
All right, Eric.
That's never going to take off.
Eric, to you for your number one.
Well, the number one, and I'm going to stand corrected on Jungle King being the greatest scrolling game. Going back to, this was one that we had over at the convenience store around the corner from us, 1984, getting all of that, you know, the zeitgeist with, you know, Russia versus U.S. and, of course, the Olympics that year and the cancellation, all that, the Russians boycotting. Russian, R-U-S-H, apostrophe N, attack. Marty, you remember that one, Russian attack?
Do.
This is one of the first scrolling games, and you were like a Chuck Norris type character, throwing grenades, shooting, rocket launchers. It was a cool. You got into fist fights with Ruskies. Again, it captured what was going on at the time. But it was a good scrolling game, but no, I'm still with Jim. That, you know, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that four player, just coming together, that was the first of its kind that I can recall, at least. And that was just a fun game. Even though I wasn't a Mutant Ninja Turtles guy, I liked playing that game. It was a good time.
Yeah. And I kind of want to play Russian Attack now, though. That sounds like a lot of fun.
If you can find Russian Attack on any, like, is it MIME or MEME simulators, any of those, I highly recommend Russian Attack. It's a fun time. And look, we had Red Dawn out that year. Of course we wanted to play Russian Attack.
Yep.
Sure. Yeah. Little callback to our patriotic movies from last year. But my number one, as was alluded to earlier, Galaga. That to me was, and well, just a quick shout out to my dad, Mike. Doesn't want to be called Papa Mike, but Grandpa Mike, my dad, Mike Provoznik. He was 23 years older than I am. He loved playing video games still, so we were one of the first people to have the Atari at home. He'd get the games the first day they came out, but we'd play at the arcade together, or I'd caddy for him, and they always had the tabletop of Space Invaders, or later, you know, just the evolution of things, and Donkey Kong, the sit-downs. We'd come back. He'd be talking with his buddies at the bar. He'd give me a shitload of quarters. That was my half my pay for being his caddy. I'd play video games. But my dad, and he had the pattern down for Pac-Man. I think he even bought a book for it, but engineer mind, great at Pac-Man. But Galaga to me was my game. It was when the torch was passed. The old man was good at Pac-Man, could whoop my ass in that one. But Gorf, that was my game. And then when I went over to caddy at Sylvania Country Club, we had that in the caddy shack. So when we were not out on the course with our carrying our bags, I got really good at Galaga. Then I got to Penn State and Playland. I minored in Galaga, but I got kicked out of Playland twice because I was playing too long on one quarter. I got good. Kill the red aliens. They move differently. They're erratic. The yellow ones, the blue ones, the green ones, they all have a pattern. Red, bad. Yeah, gonna get you. Sorry, my best worst Dana Carvey as George W. I'm sorry, the first George Bush. But Galaga is just fun, and I play, I get the high score, I'm KNG, you move on. Fun game. And
much like Donkey Kong with its iterations, that started with Space Invaders, then Galaxian, and then Galaga, and I think Gorf would have been the next.
Gorf came right after that, yeah. That and then... The Galaga. I can't remember what, probably on this shirt somewhere, but Galaga 87, and instead of having two ships there, you could like get three, or it just kept getting better. But Galaga is the standard, much like for Marty, Donkey Kong, even with all the iterations after it, Galaga is just that's the one.
And also the only game that made a cameo in the Avengers movies.
That's right. That man is playing Galaga.
That's right.
That's me. That's me. That's me, Mr. Stark. All right.
That's you in the corner.
That's me in the spotlight. All right, folks, you are listening to All Over the Place, the official podcast of Media Pub Live. I'm your host, Eric, Christine, Jim, Marty, all here having a good time. We're talking about our favorite video games. It's the threefers. It's the arcade threefer for video games. I'm sure at some point down the line, we'll go to our favorite computer and console games. But now we're going to switch it. Our plus one tonight are board games. Those classic things that you still bring families together. You sit around, you play these things, or you're at a party and you get a few drinks in you and you start playing Naked Twister. I mean, Drunken Twister.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days?
This is a family show? All right, yeah. Hang on a second. But our favorite board games. So we're going to reverse it now. Marty, I'm going to go to you first.
All right. And it's fitting that you come to me because, yeah, you had that. You got it right, Jim. Because 47 minutes ago, I did not know that this was our plus one, but that's okay.
So should we do like you with Christine and Skippy and come back to you?
Nope, I'm good. I got it. It's an easy one. By the way, just a quick aside back to our previous, the threefer. Nobody chose Pac-Man. We had 12 opportunities. Nobody chose Pac-Man.
Not even sure. I thought you were going to do it.
I thought you were at least going to do Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Not even an honorable mention. I liked the game. It was good, but I mean.
Okay, but then I do have to ask, Pac-Man or Ms. Pac-Man?
Pac-Man.
Ms. Pac-Man.
Ms. Pac-Man.
Anyway. Okay.
Oh, yeah, cool interludes between and then. There were stories going on.
Yeah.
So
more fun.
But I did give a shout out to my father. That was his game, but Big Mike's not part of our three for gang.
I still contest that since Ms. Pac-Man got a bow, Pac-Man should have got like a goatee or a bad attitude or something. That should have been
some... Well, maybe he didn't grunge Pac-Man. I don't know.
Anyway, so the plus one. Board game. There's a lot, but for me. It's not one from growing up, like Sorry or something like that. It's one from my adult time, and it's Risk. Ooh. I love Risk. I've gotten into many long games, blowing Monopoly marathons out of the water, Risk games. One time, a good friend of mine, he's my brother, and Eric knows him well, fellow Penn Stater. Him and I and a couple of girls, after being out at the club, I guess it was a club, yeah, after drinking all night, went back to, I think it was my apartment, and played Risk till about 7 in the morning. It was unreal. It was unreal. And we didn't even notice that we were marathoning until about 5. We were just like... Because we were having a good time. We were enjoying it. It was a lot of fun. We had some sort of drinking iteration too. There was some sort of, if you beat somebody straight up or something, that person had to take a shot. But yeah, Risk was so much fun. It was, a lot of people would say boring or just rolling dice and whatever. There's a lot of strategy going on there. And I love that game.
Yeah, see, I didn't have the patience for it. I will recover. But again, I got into it. I liked it for the Macintosh, the Risk game on the Macintosh system. I found fun, but then so that I had a better appreciation for the board game at that point. Sometimes it takes electronics to get me more interested. All right, well, Jim, over to you.
All right, just
very quickly to Marty, the friend you allude to, did he pull? I'm trying to remember which character it was. The Seinfeld thing. No one is mad at Ukraine. No one insult Ukraine. Did Mark pull something like that and then throw the game overboard?
He did not. That was one of the nights where he had gum stuck to his leg.
A story for another time. Over to Jim.
Probably another show.
probably hard to top that one, but okay, yeah, my favorite board game is Jenga. Absolutely love Jenga. I'm addicted to it. Every game night, I started out by asking to play Jenga, and everyone kind of rolls their eyes and says, "Shut up, we're playing something else." Because we played Jenga a million times. Yeah, I have an absolute blast playing Jenga. It's a ton of fun, and because once you set it up, it is just like thrill a minute pulling the pieces out and just seeing it teeter, seeing what's going to happen. I love to fake
sneeze. I can see it on your face.
I love to fake sneeze on it. Knocking over. Yeah. Listen, I've seen.
If you're only listening to this show on one of our audio platforms, you're missing a delight. I don't think I've ever seen in Jim's face before. Describing how much he loves Jenga. You got to be watching on YouTube, folks.
The ice Chico, they never lie. Yeah, I've seen videos of people that will play a huge game of Jenga with like these giant foam rectangles, and that looks like would be the most fun thing I would ever do. Like six pack of beer and that with some friends, and I would spend hours doing that. That would be so much fun. But anyway, but I probably have too many beers and just launch myself at it and knock it over at some point. But anyway, yeah, that is my pick. I love Jenga. There really isn't a lot of strategy to it beyond just the best ways to kind of pull the pieces out when it gets wobbly and have, you know, and balance and those kinds of things. But beyond that, it's just kind of luck and having a gentle touch and all those things. But yeah, absolute blast of a game. I love it.
And every time I throw another, like when the garbage is getting a little too big, I'm like, oh, one more in there. Reverse Jenga.
Yep.
Putting something in, it doesn't fall out.
Exactly.
Christine is shaking her head. Just take the damn garbage out.
Yeah, seriously. The recycle bin gets like that. And it's like, really? You're trying to balance another thing in there? Just take it out.
I'm just playing reverse Jenga, hon. That's all I'm doing. That's all I'm doing. Oh, right. Where there he is. Mark, hang on a second. We got to bring. Oh,
hey.
There he is.
No, I got a situation. I got to run. It's a right. flooding situation.
All right, go. All right, Mark, awesome stuff. I will talk to you soon down the line.
All right.
See you guys later. See you.
Marty's a more out, and the first person who talks shit about him is off. It's done.
Huh. That's right.
We wouldn't do that. We don't play that way.
See, the dogs are upset about it. They're very upset.
Yeah, they're running out of patience, and I am too.
Right. So.
more peanuts. Because Christine, it is your turn now. Your favorite board game.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to go with Uno, I think. It's just, you know, played it as a kid and have always played it throughout the years. And now we have a game that is like a I don't even know what it's called, but it's like a mechanized Uno where it shuffles, it deals the cards for you, and you have, I think it's called Uno Slam. And when you get one of your draw cards, you have to hit the top of the slam, and it may or may not give you cards, but if you get a draw two, that determines how many, like you have to hit the slam two times, and you might get one card, you might get no cards, or you might get five cards. So it's a kind of interesting take on, and they have like so many different versions of Uno now, but we have only played the traditional version, but then also the Uno Slam. And that's just fun because, you know, like I grew up playing it and I can play it with my kids now, and it's just easy. It's just, you know, different version of Crazy Eights, basically. And I was brought up being a card player, so it's a fun thing. That's all I got.
Uno is a classic.
Because the dogs are about to start barking. I'm totally congested. And
I see how the show works. We before Provozna gets to his, no one wants to talk about his. So whatever. All right. Well, I will hurry up with my favorite board game. I won't even, there's like too many growing up that were just too much damn fun. but it always comes back to this one. I had the electronic version for a while, but it's just so much fun writing stuff down. Yahtzee. I don't know what language that is, but Yahtzee is my favorite board game. But and in a very severe twist of irony, cannot be ironic sometimes, I can't play blackjack to save my life. But Yahtzee, I can, you know, the concept is there. I know it's the same concept as
basically
as blackjack. No, not blackjack, but as poker.
Poker, yeah.
Folks, this is what happens. See, we have reintroduced alcohol to the show. We don't have any guests on, and I get a little loopy. So
the alcohol is the guest.
Yahtzee is the alcohol is our house guest tonight. But I can't play poker to save my life, but Yahtzee I'm pretty good at. And nice thing is I've gotten to introduce Christine's boys to Yahtzee, and the youngest seems to have picked it up and actually suggests alcohol talking again, folks, and the teeth suggests it from time to time. So Yahtzee is just something my family and I, we played it a lot growing up, and it was just a good time. Rolling the dice and picking your combos. Good times with Yahtzee.
Always a fun one. Absolutely.
Which brings us to the end of three for number, I believe. This is 3 for 25. So shout out to Marty for suggesting the three for about a year ago, and here we are with 25 of them, and tonight was our top three arcade video games and the one board game. So Marty, as we heard a little earlier, is off.
Jim suggested this one. No,
Jim did.
No, he means the three for idea.
I was getting the shout out to Jim for coming up with this topic. I had a lot of fun with it. As you can see, folks, if you zoom in, zoom in on the mouse, 1981 and 1982, I almost feel like doing a rabbit, but it's suffice to say, being a middle schooler when I was in the early 80s, good times down at the roller rink. You've had the games there too. That's right. Couple skate, then you go back and play a game of Moon Patrol. Good times. And Jungle King or Jungle Hunt, whichever one it was. I think it was Jungle King. Stab, stab, stab. Swim, stab.
I think it was Jungle Hunt.
Jungle Hunt, yeah. So, yeah, but there you have it, folks. 3 for number 25, now in the books. Thanks for listening here to All Over the Place, the official podcast of Media Pub Live. Marty in absentia. Jim, fun time tonight. Christine, good times. We'll be back soon, folks, on another All Over the Place. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to All Over the Place, the official podcast of Media Pub Live. If you like what you've been listening to, and you know that you have, be sure to subscribe, like, and share at YouTube, Spotify, or your preferred platform. We thank you for your support.
Our producer is saying...
I'm dying here. My allergies are killing me.
No.
So,
we'll edit this later.